This week on the Uninteresting Car Show,
we talk about automatic traffic lights.
David brings nothing to the table this time.
Cadillac's new line.
Some car safety talk.
And we ask the question, when you're drifting around a corner with automatically moving headlights, where do they turn?
Stick around.
Jag åkte ner till Stockholm och då fick jag se glänsande Porschar och BMW. Men jag har en kärra som är bättre än då, det är en Volvo 142.
Okay.
Alright, anyway. What were you saying? What were we talking about? You have nothing to bring to the table.
I have nothing to bring to the table, and usually I'll have something, but right now I don't have anything. Except for last time while we were talking about traffic lights with sensors. I don't know how interesting that one is. It's basically going to be both us saying all lights should have sensors, because why not?
Yes. They should. Yeah, God, they should. That's like, it's not even an argument. It's 2020.
I've sat waiting at lights for so long before.
My favorite is whenever... The other thing with them is they're really crap at picking up motorcycles.
That's the thing.
The amount of times when I used to have a bike that I would have to, I would pull up, it'd be like late at night or something, I would pull up to a stoplight and it wouldn't switch.
Yes.
I would legitimately, and it's even with multiple bikes. So like I'd be riding with like two or three friends.
Yeah.
I would, you know, I'd be at the front or whatever, we'd be waiting there for like genuinely 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I would like put the bike in neutral, put the kickstand down, run over to the push to walk button.
Oh.
Push it to get the sequencer, because at night I think some of them will work
yeah.
if there's like no traffic.
Yeah.
Push it, run back to the bike as they start to change, and then get on it and go. Or the other thing you have to do is it's like if they have one of those slip lanes to the right
mm-hmm.
where you can, it's like yield to go right
yeah.
and there's no traffic, because you're coming up to a red light and you can tell it's been red the whole time you're going and there's no traffic
mm-hmm.
because it was switched with whoever drove past the first time is you have to, you go that way and then you just hook a U and then you get back to the green and then you turn right through the light.
Oh, exactly.
It's stupid how like that's a thing in 2020. And I understand people like, well, safety. I was like, if it breaks, have it default to what it does now.
Yeah.
Because like that's working well enough. And then
it should at least like, I don't know.
And then people said like, oh, well, you know, what about if like an ambulance comes through. I was like, first of all, they already have the sequencing lights on the front that the sensors will pick up, the like IR or whatever, and they switch. But the problem is, what they do now, I think, is like it might only switch one side. So like they could all four be green for a second, but you hear the ambulance, so you hear it coming. But the thing is, it's like if they had a sensor preemptively within the emergency vehicle, and then they could send out a signal, then it could switch them both immediately, safely, and then can go through with the traffic.
Are these like IRA things on the ambulances only sending the signal to that one?
It's basically, light? As I understand it, nowadays, I think they used to have, they may still do in some states, I have no idea, but I think I was told when I was a kid that it's a weight sensor in like a pad under the cars.
I think there's different types, but I believe so, that one is common,
so. I think it's common, but what I've seen a lot more of is people always mistaken for traffic cams. We can't have those in Texas if they're new, so I know it's not. And basically, I think it's just reading the cars there. But I know there's... I remember watching videos. This goes back to when I was like, oh, when I had that LS, that Lexus, and I was like, I want to make it into like an embassy-type car, like fly the flags and do some stuff that, because it'd be funny. And I was like, oh, what if I put lights on it? Obviously, you can't use them on the road, but if I want to go take photos or people see it, they go, oh, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember within that search, I found out that what will happen is within the lights that are sequencing on like a cop car and ambulance is that there's one and that it goes at a certain rate that's like it's somewhat specific.
Okay.
And the light system can see that because of how the cameras work, and it picks that up and then it goes, oh, okay. And then swaps the lights over so that you can pass through. But like I said, sometimes it won't swap all of them, which is why, like, obviously it's illegal to impersonate a police officer.
Yes.
But even if you have one of those things, I think they're IR. They may not always be, but I think it's like, first of all, if they pick it up, because I think depending on some of their sensors, they can pick it up. But it's also the reason, aside from it being illegal, yes, it's a good idea. You know, like, oh, yeah, have all the lights changed for me. But what I've heard can happen, again, going back to what I said about the safety stuff, is you can be coming up to a light that's red, and because if you have that light flashing, it'll switch your light to green, but the other sides will still be green too, because it's not expecting that. And because normally whenever that happens, it's a loud siren with lights, so everyone's going to stop anyway, but yeah. you don't have that. So then you could theoretically cause an accident. And then you get into a lot of liability, especially if someone hits someone,
they
if someone
dies. They need to sophisticate these systems.
Yes, so that doesn't happen yeah. anyway. Because it's just like, I don't know, some of that stuff, it's
probably
horribly
like
outdated.
Old tech and, like, you know, the law moves slowly as well, so it's like everything yeah. ends up moving slowly.
And I understand, like, part of it's like, well, like, what are you really saving time-wise? But if you did it across a lot of things, it would help across the board. But then the other issue is, like, oh, cost. No one wants to pay for that. I mean, we don't even want to pay for our roads. They haven't upped the tax on gas since, like,
the
80s.
Much. It's I like think you're it's putting, like, a shitty little camera, like, on the...
Yeah,
I mean,
I
can't
say
it has to be there all weather. It's probably not that shitty,
but they already have some of the stuff that does that. So I was like, why can't you just add a tier to that? I'm not sure.
Want it because I don't like weather. That's what I don't like it. Give me
me as well. The other thing is, I know like Volkswagen's doing a thing where they're like all their newer cars. I don't know if we're gonna get it in the U.S. because our laws are horribly outdated.
Yes,
just don't get me started like headlight laws. The fact that we can't have, like, moving automatic dimming, like, brights where it'll cut out a car and state the brights, all that stuff we can't have.
Yeah.
Just because it's a law from forever ago. But anyway, because of that kind of... Because it takes so long to get legislation mm-hmm. through, like, I don't know, like, when that would be a thing, and then no one wants to do it. Where was I originally going with that? Was that what I was going to say? I don't remember. We'll go with that, then. Cool. Something
you,
annoying.
That reminds me. Complain. Do you... What was that? Was it called a Tucker? Was that car?
Yes.
It had the headlight in the center
that
would
moved,
move.
Yeah. That was cool.
That was cool.
That was a one-off. And then some other company did it. But now you have, you know, the ones that move back and forth
yeah.
on their own.
Well, now we got motors.
Subarus
so
have that.
Yeah, the Tucker, wasn't it like levers and like all this like
it was
crazy
attached
shit?
To the
yeah,
front
it was
suspension.
Like attached to the...
And it was a safety thing because his thing was all about safety. Unfortunately, he got like, I think the reason, the overall reason that company went bust is they tried to do a thing where... It's you can do it now in a certain way. So, like, you know, you want a Tesla model, whatever, when it comes out. You pay $100 to reserve it. Mm-hmm. And it's non-refundable because you've said, yes, I'm going to reserve it. But whenever, I forgot what, you know, year it was, but whenever he did that, they were like, well, you can buy luggage, and then that'll basically say, like, Tucker-branded luggage. And then that way, when the car is built, you are guaranteed one. And that's kind of like part of a payment that's saying, like, yes, you agree to have one. Mm-hmm. I think at the time, that was very new. And kind of forward-thinking, and because of that, it was seen as, like, an illegal thing, and a bunch of investigation was done on it. If I remember correctly, none of it came to light. Like, it was all fine.
For the luggage?
Just for anything like that, like buying a car. Like, basically, people were paying money and not getting something in return immediately. Okay. And I think that was an issue at the time, or was thought to be an issue. But if I remember correctly, went through all this legislation, went through all this, like, litigation stuff, and it kind of ended up being where he was okay doing that, but it had done so much damage to the company that they went bust.
Really?
If I remember correctly, that was the demise of Tucker, which really sucks because they had some cool stuff. I mean, they had like the pre-selection gearbox thing. They had, you know, that, I mean, there was no airbags at the time, but I remember there was a big, they took out a lot of the dashboard. Like mm-hmm. it was really centered just on the driver's side because the idea was they had a reinforced compartment where it's like, if you were going to have a wreck, you dive into the basically the passenger footwell.
What?
Yeah, that was something they did. They was really good about visibility. They had the headlight stuff. You know, the engine was set up, when, you know, it was in the back because that way they had more crumple zone, I think. It was really a forward-looking car.
Yeah.
But company went bust, which sucks. But you see them, like, you see videos of them. I think Jay Leno's got one. You know, of course he does.
Jay Leno's got one of everything.
I bet he's got a Mark VI Golf TDI. I wouldn't put it past him, but I have one. You know what? If he doesn't, I'm one better.
Yeah.
It's one car he doesn't have.
Is that right?
Yeah,
that is. Do you also have his, like, jet-powered motorcycle?
No, but I did have a Ninja 250 for a year.
Oh, you know what? Pretty much the same thing.
And you know what else I have? I got a 72 Super Beetle flat window that's in pieces, but... He might probably
this
has one as well.
I gotta say, whenever I look up the Tucker cars, they're pretty crazy looking, right? But damn if they aren't charming. They look really charming.
Yeah, they look of the era, but they look different.
Oh, absolutely. Like just this photo. Look at that damn thing.
It's really cool.
Look at those curves. Look at that. Look at that Tuckus right there.
It looks like a luxury car. It does look expensive.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure they were, but it does have that image about it. It does have general, like, genuine appeal.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is cool. I just wish... I mean, where do you think they'd be today? It's one of those questions.
God, I don't know.
Because, you know, Volvo really got into it.
You know, but like, what that makes me think? That's another good animation video.
Oh, my God.
Make the new Tucker 48 or whatever this is. Yeah, Tucker
48. Oh, wow.
Make the new Tucker 48.
That's really good. Okay, on automation stuff.
Gosh.
That's a really good idea. Because I was going to say, I was trying to come up with ideas. We already have this one. Video should be out hopefully in a week or so once we record, edit it, cut it down and stuff like that. Well, we're going to kind of do a shorter version that's a bit more entertaining. And then if you do want to see the full, long, kind of mostly unedited version, we will be doing that as well. But the one we're going to do here is we came up with a bunch of parameters. It's going to be really laid out. Something the last one wasn't so much about, but we're going to go through all that. It's going to be really good. And we're basically going to do, you know, if someone was going to make, some company was going to make a body-on-frame car in 2020, and, you know, make a utilitarian vehicle where, you know, the cop version and the taxi version, whatever, are all the same car.
Yeah.
Where do we think, in our minds, Harley just went by, but where do we think, like, in our perspectives of it, where, what would that be like? So we're not going to go into either of the things, because I know both of us, like, on the side have been, like, kind of practicing, trying to figure stuff out. Yeah. I've been doing a lot.
We've had a little bit different approaches.
We have. Which but, is like, exciting. I've changed mine, and I know yours has changed a bit, but I think it's going to be really good.
Yes.
So we'll do that, and then we'll have some other stuff like that. But I think that's a really cool idea. Like, what would a Tucker be like?
That would be really interesting.
I was trying to think of, like, what would be a good fuel-efficient truck, because I got bored and made a front-wheel drive three-cylinder one, and that thing did not work in beam at all. I tried to pull a car.
I think a truck competition would be really fun.
We could also do a truck. We could also do, like, an M3 competitor, too.
Ooh.
Build a brand and, like, you know, what would you see as an M3 competitor? And do something different, or just that'd build that type of car. Yeah. That could be cool, too. And then, again, we'll have to give specs and do that kind of thing. So all that to come. Also, there should be a video. I don't know how long it's going to take us to put together. We have all this stuff, but it's going to take some time to get there. But we're going to try and do, like, a car spotting video podcast thing. Basically, it's just going to be two of us in the backseat of, like, a Denali, have someone driving and have us just driving around, like, nicer parts of, you know, DFW, going, oh, that's a cool car, and commenting
exactly,
on it.
Yeah.
And we'll try to come up with a format for that. But that should be good, so a lot of good stuff coming. But
see, that's perfect, because I can bring nothing to the table, and then the table basically just comes to me.
Is that what's happening now?
Oh, yeah. Except I can't spot anything, except for that, what is that, Ford?
It's a C-Max.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. What have you spotted out the window? What David has spotted is a Ford hybrid van.
I mean, that's the sound it makes.
Shut the fuck up. It's like a fucking Prius or something. Anyway, what was I going to say? Okay, we'll get on to some car news now.
Okay.
Because I looked some stuff up. I remember last week we mentioned Cadillac, and I was talking about how, you know, they have their CT4, CT5, CT6 is what the ATS, CTS, and XTS turn into.
Right.
All rear-wheel drive, basically BMW 357. I know I mentioned that before, but that's kind of what they're going for.
Mm-hmm.
And then what had happened is they came out with the V models. And I was looking through some of the specs. They're not, I think, officially out yet, but we drove by Cadillac earlier, and I saw some of the new ones, so maybe the V models are coming. But they only had, like, as much horsepower as the original, like, ATS V Sport, which is not the full-fat ATS V, but it was that kind of middle thing. And I was looking at it going, wow, they've really, I mean, it's like 100, 150 horsepower less, and the car weighs the same. So I was like, well, what are they doing with that? It turns out what they've been doing is with that Blackwing name they attached to that really cool 4.2 turbo thing for the CT6 is they're actually going to use that name in all these cars. So you'll have a CT4V Blackwing and CT5V Blackwing. And I'm not sure what engines are going to go. I don't know what engine's going to go in the small one, the CT4, like the old ATS.
Yeah.
Because before it was a 3.6 twin turbo, which is pretty cool.
Okay.
But I know the CT5... is going to have, it's not going to be the Blackwing. That's what I was talking about before. It's not going to be that V8.
Okay.
It's actually going to be a LS with a supercharger.
Interesting.
The thing is, the specs on that one, it's supposed to make 650 horsepower.
Jesus.
The option, it has with a, it comes with a 6-speed manual.
Yeah.
The option is, like, you know, they're 10-speed or whatever. It's, you know, a mid-sized, kind of a larger sedan nowadays, but it's a mid-sized sedan. You know, it's a Cadillac. It's, you know, it's going to be nice. The thing is,
that is,
it starts at 58K.
That's
which is
crazy.
Which is the price of a Corvette.
We've been talking about how the Genesis has been the only, like, sedan manual thing that's out anymore, but that's a new competitor, and that's so much more powerful.
The thing is, if you, and I realize it's a base model, quote unquote, I imagine it's a V, it's going to come with more stuff as standard. That's normally what happens. It's still going to have all the nice features and that engine. The thing is, if you spec out a Stinger GT, if you get a GT2, which has everything, you know, heads-up display, all this other cool stuff, it's a really good car. I think that car is about 50K, which is a lot for a Kia. The thing is, it's 58 for damn nearly double the horsepower.
Yeah.
And you get a manual in it, that's insane. It's the same kind of car, which is, I think, really good with that. The other thing is, it's what is like 150 more horsepower than a Corvette? And it's just, and it's a grand less, and it's a manual.
That's a very interesting car.
That's the thing.
That's something I would not expect Cadillac to do.
If that price stays, that's like the buy of the century.
That's, it kind of reminds me of the SS.
That Chevy, the
Holden.
The Holden, yeah. It's not really
because that came in a manual and it's a V8 and it's a sedan. And it's like for the people who really like that kind of thing, that was there. But then they stopped making it.
Yeah, exactly.
If you had one of those and you're looking for a new one, go buy the Cadillac.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And then the other thing, it's just like, it's so much less than, I'd say you can compare a CT5 to like a 5 Series, like an M5, especially with the power.
Yeah.
An M5 starts at 100K. I understand. Yeah. I understand people are going to say, well, you know, it's a BMW, it's just better. Okay, whatever. Why would you not buy that? Especially, I was talking about, if I was going to spend that much money on a car, definitely get a Corvette. Mm-hmm. Now, there's secondhand stuff, you know, you get a Porsche, whatever. Anything like that. GTR, obviously not, after a conversation last week. but, you know, you could do that. And it's just like, I don't know. If you had that much money in your pocket, I don't know what you would buy, provided it is that much money, and you did want that kind of car. I don't know what you would buy other than that. Also, I watched a video where some guy made a render. He was like, what if they do the wagon again? Which, if Genesis does the wagon of the G70, which I've heard about, they've talked about, and then if Cadillac does it again, that's great.
As much as I want them to do it, I just doubt it'll happen.
Yes.
Because I don't know who in the U.S. would buy it. I just doubt
it'll
happen.
And no one in Europe's going to buy that engine. You know what I mean?
That's a good point. Yeah,
like that's why BMW does a 3-liter straight six and not a 6.2 full fat supercharged V8.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, no one makes anything like that. Like that Cadillac.
Yeah,
that's crazy. I think Cadillacs really, like,
they've turned the corner. They've turned the corner a lot.
No, absolutely.
I compare them a lot to Genesis for a minute. Yeah, it's like they're that kind of. They're nicer, but they're less money. Yeah. I compared them to Genesis for a while because they both have the attitude. It's like GM parts bin, Hyundai Kia parts bin.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the car's still really nice on its own right.
Yeah.
It's bespoke, but it's still cheap. Mm-hmm. And not every company can do that. Lexus kind of can.
Mm-hmm.
But Lexuses are now, they're nice enough on their own that they can charge a lot more money for it. So
yeah, they've kind of gotten that name.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, that's a good point. It's like, because Cadillac, I mean, I don't know. People have known about Cadillacs for a while, but I feel like Cadillac was kind of like not in the best place for a long time.
No, like because all the '80s and '90s, they were just
kind of garbage.
Even 2000s for a long time.
So they were kind of, I think, in a similar spot with the Korean manufacturers, where they didn't have that name anymore, you know, and they couldn't sell it on the name.
Yeah.
And so, which is weird for me to say, because the Cadillac is like that's supposed to be a name that carries some weight.
That used to be like the name, because I'm talking to my parents, and my mom said, you know, she goes in the '70s or like. Yeah, in like the '70s, she goes, if someone had like a Cadillac, like Eldorado, which is this, you know, big, heavy front-wheel drive, 8-liter V8, rear drive, whatever, just enormous barge.
Yeah.
They made it. Like, that was like a Rolls-Royce, because Rolls-Royce was great, but it was a different kind of thing. And, you know, she used to say, like, and I think that's a reason why when she was looking for a new car, she was like, well, I'll get a CTS, because she was like, she liked that name. And that name to her is kind of what a lot of people see as, like, Mercedes or BMW, even if it's like a base model 2 Series Grand Coupe, which is just a Mini Cooper, or that CLA, which is also front-wheel drive.
Yeah.
That's a conversation for another time, but anyway, if it's either of those, people are like, oh, wow, that's an expensive car, because I don't know if I told the story, but I made a car chase when I was in like high school, because I was, you know, trying to be a film major or whatever. But anyway, we did that, and I had like a that 5 series I mentioned a while back, you know, it was a 530i, you know, mid-range sport in quotes. It was a manual, but it had 300,000 miles. The thing barely ran. I could barely keep it running with the money I had. And I pulled up at, out front of, like, some girl that was shooting with us. Like, her mom was like, oh, yeah, like, you should, like, date him because, like, he has money. And it's it was a 15-year-old, at the time, BMW that cost me $2,000.
Yeah.
It's just, like, that badge snobbery thing is, like, it's it really exists, especially people who aren't that interested in it.
I think it also helps that BMWs, they have, like, a kind of more of a modest design, and so they stay good-looking for longer.
Yeah.
Which means that even an older one, even an older one is still going to be pretty good-looking, and it's still maybe going to turn some heads and be like, yeah, oh, it's a BMW. I was going to say the, like, Hyundai and Cadillac are kind of, like, or, like, the Korean manufacturers and Cadillac are kind of, like, in that same boat where they need to be pumping out, like, these cool cars to get them, to get their reputation back up again.
Yes.
And they need to, like, make a real statement in the market, and so they are also cheaper than everybody.
Yeah.
And so that's, like, they're pushing, I think, themselves harder because their image is not as great,
yeah, exactly,
as it once was, or not great, period, yeah, in terms of the Korean, yes, manufacturers. Exactly. So, I don't know. That's an interesting point. But
and Lincoln's actually doing it, too, on a smaller scale. But yeah, Lincoln, the stuff that Lincoln has designed, it's... Excuse me, it's way more than a rebadged Ford with leather, which mm-hmm. it used to be forever ago. They are bespoke feeling now. And I don't know, I don't think they're quite at that level of, like, Cadillac. Cadillac really jumped ahead because I was saying there for a while, just my own opinion, I was like, yeah, Lincoln, I think, is, per, like, I would have most of their cars kind of stuff over Cadillac. But now, no. Like, mm-hmm. not a chance.
Yeah.
And I never thought I'd say that, because they were both horrible for so long.
Yeah.
Like, honestly.
Yeah.
And GM's, like, they're doing stuff that they don't usually do, where they're kind of, they're taking risks. Not mm-hmm. necessarily, but they're doing bolder things.
Mm-hmm.
They, GM doesn't do that. Ford, on occasion, will, but GM doesn't usually do that. And the stuff like that, it's like, I wonder why, I was thinking about this earlier, like, talking of these two companies, I don't know why Ford is... I've read a bunch of stuff where they're having a lot of money issues. Like, pre-COVID crisis, pandemic stuff, they've had a lot of issues.
Really?
And it surprises me, you know, we're, whatever, what is it, statistically, every 11 seconds someone buys a new F-150? Like, how do you mess that up? Like,
I don't know.
Get what an accountant.
Isn't Ford and Tesla the only two car companies that have not gone bankrupt in their life? I feel like I've heard that somewhere.
I think so, and Ford's, like, I think, encroaching on it. I do know yeah. that part of it happened where GM and Chrysler went bankrupt in around 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to, like, covet Ford because I was like, wow, they didn't do that. They made it out of there. But what yeah. I've also heard more recently is they just happened to kind of take a lot of loans out before that.
Mm-hmm.
So they were actually okay. Like, just a year or two prior, something like that, where they ended up being okay through that, and they didn't need the backing from the yeah. government as much as everyone else did.
I mean, timing helps.
Yeah.
Like, good management helps. Good, like, risk management helps. So, there's a lot of factors to that, not just, like, who makes the best car, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lot of that kind of stuff. So, Ford might have been more prepared, or Ford might have just had good timing. Or,
yeah, that's the thing, know. And I'm not sure. I'd have to look into it again, but
yeah.
I know people have written tons of stuff about it, so however it goes, you know, we'll see, and we'll see how they go in the future, because I mean they have a lot of new stuff coming out soon. The Bronco mm-hmm. Sport, the Mach-E's out soon, and apparently they have a version that's even more powerful than the one they initially announced and all this stuff, so mm-hmm. hopefully they get doing it.
I feel like I want more. I don't know, this might be kind of off base saying this. I feel like I want more motorsports involvement
yeah.
In a lot of these brands, because I remember, like, some really cool old cars that ended up being homologation racers, you mm-hmm. know? They'd make, like, just a set of them, and they're really yeah. crazy, but it's because they're homologation racers, and they made them just to win a yeah. particular race. Yeah. And it's like, I feel like they don't do that so much anymore.
Well, it's the same kind of thing we were talking about before, which is, like, the state of the auto industry is a lot of people are just kind of chasing the market, to a yeah. certain extent. And I've started to see, as a view, it's like people are... Companies seem to be kind of going, oh, we shouldn't do that, or we should change some stuff, like mm-hmm. Genesis, like Ford, you know, GM. You know, GM a lot, it seems like, recently in the past year or two.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, you know, it costs money to go racing, and there's yeah. really no return
yeah.
necessarily, but you do get brand image with that. I mean, in Korea, I love that. I mean, Hyundai's such a big company, And yes, there's like SsangYong, which is another car company. They used to make really hideous stuff for a while, but we don't get them here. I know they get them in Europe. I remember so many jokes about these horrendously ugly cars based on old Mercedes and whatever. But Hyundai Kia is such a big company. Like, there's a whole racing series with just them. And I think I showed you a video, and it's like 25 Kia Fortes. They're all identical. They all have, you know, different stickering, stuff like that. And that's what they race. Or like, there was a Genesis one, like when the Gen Coupe was popular, and that might be something they can only do there, but it's, you know, what if the U.S. did that with, like, GM, Ford, and Chrysler? Like, could you imagine them doing that?
Like, kind of like a how Australia started as, like, the V8 supercars thing?
Yeah.
If we had it here, but a racing league, again, like, kind of V8 supercars, but with American manufacturers.
It'd be a cool thing to do. And you could have multiple classes. You could even have, like, the normal everyday car.
Oh.
Like, could you see, like, imagine like a Focus being put against like a Chevy Cruze.
That'd be
against
very exciting.
I don't even know what Chrysler might, like a Dart? No, the Dart's out of production. Whatever they make.
Well, it's like all American manufacturers have stopped producing small cars, I feel like.
So it's, you know,
what are they going to race? And that kind of, they can race crossovers.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing. Could you imagine like a Ford Explorer going up against a, like these three passenger SUVs going up, like a Chevy Traverse and like a Durango or something like that.
You know what would be crazy? I don't know if they'd be bold enough to do this. So like the truck war is always raging, you know, between Ram, between Chevrolet, you know, GMC and Ford.
Yeah.
You know, they're all like, you're trying to compete for that market here down in the South. They're like, what's the best truck?
That's all we see here.
And yeah, it's crazy. But God, if they race them in a racing league, stock, bone stock,
maybe
like roll cage, whatever.
Yeah.
And in a racing league, I think that'd be crazy. I think that
we should do this.
I think people would love it because all these like high schoolers who play in their high school football team would be crazy about this racing league because they'll be like, I'll prove you.
Yeah.
You know, I'll prove to you my F-150 is superior to your Silverado.
Yeah.
You know? And this race, we'll see who comes out on top.
That'd be great.
You know?
And that'd be much more interesting than NASCAR.
Absolutely.
NASCAR is losing people because it's boring.
I feel like that would kill in the South.
Yeah.
There's truck racing, you know, Stadium Super Trucks.
That's a whole different animal.
I know. It's so unapproachable because they're not... Nobody makes these. They're completely bespoke.
Yeah, it's so far off from what it is.
Have truck racing. Have truck racing.
That'd be cool.
On like a track. It could be partially dirt, partially,
that's what I was thinking.
You know, gravel, partially tarmac, and just like put it all together.
And you can just do teams, and you have drivers of certain teams, and you can get sponsorship in there. You know, these, I mean, they're huge companies. Like, they'd work with a bunch of sponsorships. There's no reason they wouldn't take that.
We love trucks here.
Yeah, we do.
Gosh.
And you could also do, you could actually do two of them. You could say, oh no, I was going to say, okay, what I was originally going to say there was you could have the like 1500 class, the half ton one, so you've got the F-150, Silverado, and Ram 1500.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, you could have the small one, but the problem is Dodge doesn't make one.
Yeah.
I just forgot. Dodge doesn't, they're not in that market yet. I think they're coming to, but like, that kind of thing, because otherwise it'd just be like Rangers and Colorados driving around.
I mean, hell, so be it. You know,
if that's who can enter,
so.
And then you could, if you're able to like turn it into that kind of thing, if they get into it enough, that would give reason for FCA to make one.
Yeah.
Or Peugeot FCA, whoever bought them, but
making their race car, and I feel like that would also push the tech of trucks.
I
feel like trucks probably don't handle that.
They don't. Actually, that could be a really interesting thing. I don't know if Ford's doing it yet, but GM from the next gen, they just went to IRS in the back, which is unheard of because, you know, leaf springs for load.
Yes.
But it's this whole new design they spent a bunch of money on because GM and Ford have a different approach to the SUV and truck-based ones. So the F-150 and Explorer, same basic thing underneath. Like, they're essentially identical, interiors, all this stuff, but the Explorer forever since the beginning, sorry, not Explorer, Expedition, since the beginning has had IRS, which made it have a flat floor. It was bigger. It was nicer to drive. And then they didn't redesign it for like 20 years.
Yeah.
And then they finally redid it, but it's the same thing. But the trucks have always had, you know, solid axle with leaf springs. However, now GM is doing a different approach where they redesigned the rear suspension for the Suburban and Tahoe, and they're just going to use that on the trucks. Now, the reason they're doing that is it's easier to put electric motors in that kind of setup than, you know, trying to introduce it into the driveline somewhere and try to get it, you know, with the transmission and stuff like that. So that's why they're doing it. But then I don't think Dodge is doing anything like that. So you can see, oh, there'd be a difference there on how they'd handle.
Interesting. Yeah, I think it would also push the handling of, like, long travel suspension. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know, and it'd have to handle on everything. And I think that would translate to the consumer market as well.
And then, I'll give you one more.
And fucking everyone drives, like, high suspension travel cars now, because it's all crossovers. It's all trucks, SUVs.
Yeah.
This would be super relevant for most of America now. Yes, you know what I mean?
And then I was going to say, take it another step further, you could have the tiny little crossovers, like the Trax and the EcoSport. Yeah. That kind of thing.
That'd be
great.
Yeah.
And then you could also, because you could do an off-road type of thing with it, but then even more so, it's like, you could almost force the companies to make these cars cool again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take off the table for now the fact that Ford and GM think it's a good idea to not produce small cars in the U.S.
Yeah.
Because, again, probably mentioned this before, guess where those buyers are going when they're done with their Ford Focus and want a new one? They're going to Kia or Hyundai or Honda or Toyota. Absolutely. So it's stupid. I think that was a little short-sighted. I get it, but a little short-sighted to not have any of them. However, just imagine, like, if they either, hey, it gave them a reason to bring it back, or, you know, you have a Focus ST going against, you know, GM would have to kind of create something.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, they have, I think they have a semi-hot little hatchback Cruze, but it's really just like an eco, you know, turbo thing. They just put turbo on the back, and it's a decent car. It's just a Vauxhall, as far as I know, like an old one. But, you know, that kind of thing, and then Chrysler would have to do something. And then that can almost open the gates for, I don't know, that's a lot to sift through, but that could be pretty cool.
Could be cool.
That's a really good, we should do that.
How the hell do we do that?
I don't know, we'll just call some people and try to set
call
it up.
Call some people.
Just do it with other people's money and then try to get a paycheck at the end of it. There'd be money in that, spectators.
Oh, I think so.
You just have to figure out a track to set it up. If you did it here, you could honestly use Texas Motor Speedway, but use the infield or something like that.
I mean, that's what they do the stadium super trucks.
Exactly.
So, and they have a big setup that they pull out there, and so I feel like we could...
It'd be that kind of thing. Or you could even do it at, like, God, I'd love to see an F-150 racing around Sebring or something like that. Or, like, Circuit of the Americas. Could you imagine? Or if we take it abroad and they go to, like, what was that? Like Monaco?
Mm.
Monaco Grand Prix, but it's F-150s and Dodge Rams and, sorry, Ram 1500s and Chevy Silverado.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Okay, so since we were talking about, this is going back to, like, a previous topic we were talking about. Since we're talking about the Tucker and, like, turning headlights, I've thought for a minute, what happens with automatic turning headlights when you're drifting?
That's a good question.
I know, but it's okay. So you turn right, then if you're turning right around a corner, your headlights are pointing right, turning into the corner so you can see more of it, right?
Yes.
But if you're turning right around a corner on opposite lock, the lights are pointing away from the corner, right? I mean, like your
they'd be pointing away from the apex.
But they'd be they'd be pointing away.
And or you so lined up enough where it's fine, because if you're theoretically
reverse entry.
Okay, I was gonna say theoretically the front of the car is facing like the inside of the corner.
Well, not completely.
No, I know, you know, but like more towards that angle. Yeah. So they'd be forwards off the road. But if you're turned to the right, theoretically they should be pointing down the road where you're going.
Yeah, but the whole point is, they're pointing down the road where you're going. If you don't have turning lights at all. So they would...
Well, yes.
So they would just be back to normal again, I guess, right?
Or they'd be facing down the road you're coming or around the... I don't know. We should try that.
They should need to turn it. I don't know how we...
I was going to say everyone...
Can they detect that kind of thing?
Huh? Well, it depends. So I know, like, a friend of mine has a WRX. It's a really nice one. Mm-hmm. So it's like a top trim, so it has them. But his only go with the turning of the wheel.
Oh.
However, BMW usually use GPS as part of it. So they can preemptively do it.
We'll see.
And it's a combination.
They drift really well, right? So
not this X3M, but yes. In general, they should.
not the X3M.
I don't want to take an X3M.
You're feeling like a 5 series. And they're like, they're thinking like, yes, we have to do we have to use GPS. Because if you are going sideways...
It would work,
right?
I mean, the computers would be a bit confused. They'd go, this is real wrong.
Oh, well.
Also, why is the TSC turned off? But, you know, whatever, we'll throw the lights where they need to go. That'd be great.
That'd be interesting. I wonder if they've thought about that and implemented that.
I wonder if someone's done this already.
That would be impressive.
We should do it. I don't know how we're going to do that. I should go, is there any cars? Do Mustangs have it? It's like the Ford dealership I used to work at. Not got a lot going on because of COVID. Hey, Joe, can I take out the GT Premium? Just no reason. I just wanted to test drive it at night. He's like, what are you doing?
And then we're like, you know, you're going around like a high speed like a touche corner or something. Yeah. And then I'm like videotaping in slow motion. We're like frame by frame turning.
Get a drone up so we can look at the down.
Yeah, yeah. And so you can see like the angle at which.
Yeah, call the PD, have them block off a stretch of road.
For science.
And it's exactly. Just. Exactly. Like, yeah.
I wonder if we could just send an email to BMW and be like, hey, do you do this? Does it happen?
We could. They got nothing else to do right
would
now.
Would they get in trouble for saying, yes, they do turn in? Or would they get in trouble for saying, no, they don't turn in?
I don't think they get in trouble, but depending on how corporate
are you encouraging drifting? Or are you making sure your drivers are safe at all times?
You have to, like, take that into consideration.
It's how the PR spins it, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say how the PR spins it and how corporate they decide to be, because they might go, well... They'd have to come about. They can't say try it on your own, but they could heavily suggest.
It could be a little cheeky how it would work. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great. We need to bring this up again. We need to send them an email and bring this up again. I think that'd be a great thing to put in while we're doing the like in the back of the fucking Denali or some shit.
Yeah,
just like driving around. And we're like, so let's pull this up. We need to send that email.
That'd be fun.
I guarantee you, it's funny because I've looked on their Instagram I follow, and like the comments they get, some of them they go, well, you know, it depends on the market, and they go, well, it depends on your driving style. Sometimes if you go, oh, like how much horsepower does this have, they will give you a spec list all the way down for every country and respond to it in the comments.
See, yeah, I want that question to call up the engineers who design the system and have them have to ask them and be like, will it do this? And they're like, you know, this is how we programmed it or whatever, and so this is what it would do, and then we'd get, like, a full, like, dissertation.
I'd love it if they go, oh, well, I'm not sure, let me forward your email to that department. They're like, well, we could do it. We could just ask every car company.
The thing, they do have a lot of free time now. I feel like this might get somewhere.
That might be fun for someone to do, though, while they're at home.
Yeah.
Just give them something to do. We're sitting here talking over a microphone, and they're just like, good question.
We've never had that one before.
Uninteresting car show, and they go, "What do you think? Do you think they've gotten that question before?"
I kind of doubt it.
I think it's been thought of, but no one's thought to ask. Yeah. One of those situations. I want to do that now.
That'd be fun. We could do that.
We could do that after. So I gotta find an email. I could email. No, he works for. Like I said, I interviewed for a position there.
Oh.
Before all this crisis happened, I do have some people's emails and LinkedIn's.
Man. It might be good to just tweet at them. Or something. I don't know how you'd word that in a tweet, though. I feel like
you'd have to... I don't think it'll fit 140 characters.
I feel like you'd have to have some disposition. Or, yeah.
Hey, if you're going around a corner drifting, will the automatic headlights look down the corner? Or will they not?
Or will they look away? Or will they just look straight?
Oh, man.
You could fit that in a tweet, right?
You could probably fit that in a tweet. That'd be awesome. I haven't used my Twitter in, like, a month.
Oh, yeah,
and then
I
just put that out there. I'd be like, yes. People are like, who is this guy? That'd be amazing. We should find that out. We could also email, like... Actually, that'd be a cool thing to do. Email BMW and ask.
Mm-hmm.
Also email Cadillac and ask.
Mm.
See what their responses are like.
Interesting.
Because I imagine GM would be a lot more like, hell yeah, it does, or hell yeah, it doesn't. And then BMW would be like, well, you know, when it depends. A little hands-off with it, you know? Just kind of like, well, just... we'll see how it goes. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Oh. We need to do this. We will do this. Funny. I should say. I'll add that to my notes. Okay, I want to complain about something based on those headlight stuff. I don't like any of the like safety stuff that they've been adding to cars now. What I mean by that is headlights like that work. They're good.
Yeah.
The blind spot monitoring thing, yeah, I can get behind that. It's nice to have.
Mm-hmm.
Very rarely have I ever been in that situation where I don't see a car after looking in my mirror or like... checking, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I rarely had that instance, but, like, it's a good thing to have. It's just, you know, it's something there in the background.
It doesn't bother you at all. It's just, like, a little light.
The active stuff, I hate. And what I mean by that is, and I've driven different brands of cars with this, and it seems to be an across-the-board thing. Maybe it's just a technical thing. Depends. Okay, and now when I get into this, I'm not going to talk about self-driving, because it's not self-driving. I'm not talking about autopilot stuff. I've never used that. I don't know what it's like. That's a different animal. Mm. What I'm talking about is the sort of safety, you know, keep you in your lane type of stuff that a lot of car companies have now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a range of ways they work, like effectiveness. Like, for instance, GM's, we messed around with it, and a friend of mine's like, again, that guy with the Denali that we might end up using.
Mm-hmm.
You can just kind of, it's funny. I mean, obviously we're paying attention, we're doing anything stupid, but if you get on the highway, you take your hands off the wheel, it's kind of you just watch it and see how well it goes around a corner, and it'll kind of bounce around in the lane,
yeah.
And then kind of go, could you please put your hands on the wheel? It has that attitude towards
That's
it.
Funny.
My dad's Golf has it. He's got like an SEL, you know, Golf variant, so mm-hmm. he's got the big one. But the thing is, you're sitting there driving it, and it does that kind of thing. The Volkswagen system's even more like direct. Like, I took my hand off the wheel, and I was like, I'm gonna see. It's pretty good the way it'll keep itself in the center of the lane. But then it kind of gives you this message. It's like, put your damn hands on the wheel. It's like, what are you doing? You're an idiot. The problem with that is, while you're driving these systems and you have it on, they're constantly trying to resituate you directly in the middle of the lane.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is, to me, it gives me this feeling of like, I'm not in control.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can feel it like tugging or pushing at the wheel. And it's like, I understand it's supposed to be there for like fatigue, but it's a weird feeling. And it's not something that I've given myself time to like try and get used to it. Because mm-hmm. again, like I said, I used to work at a Ford dealership. And even the fact that you can get it on an F-350, I think is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that it kind of is like, it's just this, I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. I don't like it. And I understand it's like partially a gimmick to get people in.
Yeah.
But it's a safety thing when it works. When the thing is, in driving, I don't work that well. Because there's a whole video that Volkswagen puts out in their manuals and stuff. And, you know, you watch and it goes, well, if you're not paying attention and you're about to go around a corner or something and hit something, the car will steer it for you and you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried that. Not actually, but like, I've just, you know, going down the highway or something on a vague curve, a real soft one with real well-painted lines, and the car, you can see it on the screen, it has both of those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep your hands on the wheel, but you just kind of let it loose a little bit.
Yeah.
It's really like not good at doing that. And it just makes me feel like this is not going to save me. What's the point?
Yeah, it just makes you feel like
it just gives me more unease and out of control. And it's like,
I
have a Mark VI Golf. So it doesn't have any of this.
I mean, the thing, like,
but
the whole time, like, ever since you've driven a car, it's like your wheel always, the force that you feel on your wheel always pulls it straight. Or always, I can't say always pulls it straight. Always, because if you're going around a drift, it always pulls it to where it's, like, going, you know what I mean? Because of the caster angle and all of that.
Yeah.
And having that not be there, I think, would be a very odd feeling.
That's kind of what it is.
It's like, yeah, it's like having, like, an artificially always moving caster angle, and it's...
Yeah, that's what it feels like. Weird. That's a really good way to describe it, yeah.
Yeah, and I agree. I feel like I would be very uneasy with that as well. I wonder if, do you think, like, a lot of safety stuff, it's going to become mandatory in the future?
It may be, but the good thing is with a lot of this stuff is you can still turn it off.
Yeah.
Because in
I feel
his
like
car,
as long
you
as you
it
can
off,
turn it off,
I'm fine. Or pull a fuse or whatever.
Yeah.
Because reverse cameras are mandatory now. As of, I think, 2012. No, 2012 was DSC. I think it was 2016. I think he had to have reverse cameras. ABS came way too late. Maybe it's 2012 was like, you have to have ABS now. Because I bought my dad a Versa that had none, and it was like a 2008. I was like,
wait, really?
Yeah, it was an option. It was like a $500 option that wasn't selected.
What the fuck?
Which in rain was great. A real hard eco tires. That was the worst car to drive like
I can say there's nothing wrong with ABS. Like, I'm not...
Well, you know.
For a lot of the...
I was going to say, you know there's nothing wrong with ABS.
I'm for a lot of the... I don't like a lot of the forced on safety stuff, especially stuff that's like perhaps not so effective.
Mm-hmm.
But ABS, I feel like, it ain't hurting no one. Like,
no, it's
just,
always good.
Know,
and it's been there for 30, 40 years now.
Yeah.
So it's...
We've gotten good at it.
Yeah, we kind of know what we're doing. Maybe this stuff will get there too.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the good thing is still, if you don't like that stuff, a lot of cars, you don't have to select it.
Mm.
You can normally option it off or just not have it. Or get a lower trim, and you get most of the stuff you want, which is a good thing. It's like, especially if you're about to come out of university and you want to buy a new car, if you're driving like a 90s Corolla with, you know, all the options at the time, which is like an FM radio and electric windows, the amount of stuff that comes on base model cars now, it's insane.
Oh, absolutely.
You get CarPlay, Android Auto, stuff like that. That just comes on it comes on like a Kia Rio, you know, that kind of thing, or like a Hyundai Accent. Like, you have all this stuff, and you would not believe, you know, you can buy a cheap car and have all that stuff even in the base form, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So, like, with that in mind, I don't know. But it'll depend. It'll see. We'll see if that stuff becomes mandatory. The other thing I always love doing is, like, the auto stop stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not the turning off the engine and that whole thing. I hate those. I have not driven any car that has been smooth. Like, my mother's Tiguan she just bought. It's god-awful. Like, it chucks the car forwards when you take your foot off the brake. It's...
Really?
It feels like it's a dual clutch that's failing. But it's a torque converter automatic, so I know it's not. It's just not... they didn't finish it. It feels like an afterthought, which sucks for VW. But I've driven in other cars, and it's bad. So you can usually turn that off. But aside from that, I mean, like, the braking and traffic and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The auto cruise control is kind of good if you're, like, going through construction, because you just lock onto the car in front of you, and it goes.
Yeah.
And in traffic and stop-and-go traffic, it's great. A lot of the stuff, if it was in stop-and-go traffic, it's perfect.
Well, yeah, because you don't even want to be driving at that point.
Exactly. That's fine.
Yeah.
But whenever you're trying to do, you know, 75, and you're going around a corner, and the car's like, hey, you could be more in the middle of the lane. Like, could you not? Like, leave me alone.
I kind
of
don't want it to be the default. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I want it to be, like, you click a button that's not on by default. You click a button, and it's like... it kind of does some stuff for you.
Yes.
I think that would be my ideal spot. Because I've been in a bunch of traffic, and it fucking sucks. I don't want to be driving. And if I've thought about those options, and I'm like, man, that'd be nice. As much as I want to be in control of my car, that'd be nice. Because this is a pain.
Yeah. And the good thing is, like, some of those ones where they go even a step further are really good. It's that kind of middle section where it's like, why bother? Because if you have it low down at speeds, which a lot of cars have now, where you can just sit in traffic, it's nice, it's easy, stop and go, don't have to really pay attention. I mean, you do, but it's like it's not as kind of like tiring to do that.
Right.
Or if you're going across the U.S. and you're driving 2,000 miles, and you know you've got Cadillac's Super Cruise and Tesla's Autopilot, where it's very, very good. It's just less fatiguing.
Mm-hmm.
Those make sense. Because it's like you're going a long distance. But the thing is, if I'm going to drive 20 minutes, I'm not going to go, okay, cool, let's set everything up, you know, because I don't want to, okay, let's set this. It's just like, it's so in the way. And the thing is, that's what I don't like about my parents' new cars they just bought. My dad just bought the Golf. My mom just bought the Tiguan. And the thing is, they're both really high-spec ones. And they have all this stuff. And I'm like... I understand, like, I just have a Mark 6 diesel manual Golf, like, it's nothing comparatively, but it's like, just getting out of those cars and getting into it, it's refreshingly simple.
Yeah.
And I know that's, like, a real, like, cliche, like, kind of boomer, like, in quotes, like, oh, cars are too complicated, but they are.
Oh, I mean, I agree.
Don't like it.
No, I completely agree.
Okay.
No, I have...
it's not just me.
There's, like, that LS400 that you got.
Perfect.
There is little more I could want from a car.
Perfect car.
Besides that
perfect
LS400.
Perfect daily. It's soft, it's powerful.
I can use an aux connection, Bluetooth. That'd be nice. Maybe, like, cooled seats. They'd be pretty cool.
In Texas, yes. Everything else, it's like...
what else do you want from a car?
I don't...
You know what I mean?
My car has everything I want.
That's kind of as much luxury as I need. And your car, too. It's like, what other luxury features do you need?
That's it. The only thing... okay, the only thing I want my car is a reverse camera. But it's not even because I don't want to turn my head. I have dark window tint because I live in Texas, but it's also because I just like to have the slight flex of the fact that it's the Volkswagen logo opens up and a camera pops out.
I'm not a big fan of reverse cameras.
That one's
but
cool.
I would want one if it did that.
And my dad's car does it, and it's funny because even though it's a longer Golf, you can hear it go and then flip out. You can hear the noise, and then it like snaps shut. I can add it to my car. It just wasn't an option, but it's like, to get the OEM thing, it's like $700. So
yep. Fuck that.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, no. I don't mind
turning around. Maybe later on.
I'm cool with not having a reverse camera.
Yeah, it's just, other than that, it's fine, but...
would I hate it if it was on my car? No. I'd hate it if it was, like, a huge, like, thing, because sometimes, like, the sensors for how close you are and things are, like, they just kind of, they look...
not good.
Not good.
You can kind of...
you can
tell. If they're not
well
implemented,
That
some of them are really good.
Perfectly... The one with where the little latch opens.
Yeah, perfect. You can't see it. I think a lot of the Germans are doing that now. It's great because it makes the back of the car look clean.
Mm-hmm. And we saw that Gen Coupe with like the little sensors on the bumper,
all the
for
four dots.
And you said it was just dirty. They're supposed to be white, but I looked at it. I was like, that's fucking weird. It looks like it's been bolted on.
It looks like someone drilled holes in the bumper.
Because yeah, it's a bunch of like little like dark little nipples on the back on the rear bumper. Yeah. I'm like, what the hell is that?
They just get full of dirt. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of the new stuff's like really well integrated. I do like actually, we're getting away from my original complaint, but basically that's it. I guess we kind of went over that. It's just like I want to like see this cars. Better implementation. I like new cars, but
they don't
like
make
some
them
of the stuff
like they used to.
Shut up.
No, but the thing is, I'm probably more like that than you are, because
yeah,
I like older cars.
I do too. I like some of the simplicity that came out of especially the 90s.
Absolutely, yeah.
I really like some of the cars. Safety stuff, I'd like to have, but most of the cars by that point are good enough.
Yeah, by the time you're in the 90s, I think you're mostly safe.
Just get after 91, that way you have a dual stage airbag and not something that just like punches you in the face when it goes off. Those are rough. I almost got into a wreck in that we had a 98 Silverado that was like real rough, and it was the last of the square body like 350 engine OG 350 kind of thing. I almost got in a wreck, and I was like, I had to ditch it into the dirt, mostly because I was like, okay, it shouldn't have been like a bad accident, but it's like, I would rather like do something and like, you know, maybe just like, I would rather, it was a weird position where the thought went through my head. I was like, it's probably not going to be bad if I just like try and stop, but it's like, I know I'll be able to get out of it if I ditch into the dirt and then get back on the road. But the thing was, the reason that thought occurred to me is I was like, oh, I don't want to get hit in the face by a 25-year-old
airbag
that's one stage and has been dormant for God knows how long.
No,
I don't
want to
deal
life.
With that. And I, you know, who knows? I might have had metal shards, but it's not Takata. Anyway, that's kind of time for us.
Is it really?
Yeah. Do you want to leave,
though? I was going to say...
Yeah, keep going.
No, I like, about that, I feel like I'm usually more on the accident avoidance side.
Yeah,
it's not my fault, so I don't care side.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like my cars. I don't want them to break.
Well, I hated that truck, so it was like...
And it's also like, I've driven a lot of small cars, and it's safer for me to...
Yes, exactly. That's the thing, to avoid it.
You know?
I think this is less... I know what you're talking about. I have the same thing. I'm like, I don't want to mess my car up because I don't have to deal with it kind of thing.
I just don't want to mess myself up.
That too. Yeah, obviously that. But it's also, this situation was kind of one of those where I'm like, I don't know if I could pull up in time and I could go off.
Yeah.
Or I could ditch and for sure be fine. And if it breaks and like, you know, I break a tire or something, it's at least going slower in grass. I'm out of the way.
I mean,
I was like, I'd rather do that.
You don't blow up the car like
it's
going to be small repairs. There's
small, tiny trees.
Yeah,
my
instinct is always like kind of duck away emergency lane, like kind of like
just get out of the way.
Get out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, if there's like a big stop coming.
And I do that too.
Like that, you know. Just stay aware.
Actually, on that, the accident avoidance stuff, that is one thing I will say is good on cars.
Mm-hmm.
It's good and bad. Okay.
Yeah.
The thing where it will pull up for you so you don't rear end someone, great. Or it won't hit a child if a child runs
out.
I've
seen
some
video of like the Tesla ones happening,
uh-huh.
and they're so quick to react sometimes.
Yes.
It's like a human can't react that fast.
No.
And it's impressive, and it's safe. You know?
Especially if you're not paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
Like, even if you're just looking at something out the window. I almost ran into, like, a Cadillac the other day. I mean, it was, like, 4 miles an hour, but it was a stoplight, and they didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the light turn green, and something caught my attention.
Yeah.
I wasn't even on my phone. Like, it was just wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
Stuff like that's good. It's not good if you're trying to pass cars, and you're going faster than other people. Like, if people are doing 60, and you're doing, like, the speed limit of 75, and you're coming up on them, and before you move out of the way... This happened to my mom. I drove my mom's car the other day.
Really?
And I was doing 45. But then a car in front of us was pulling into the middle turn lane.
Uh-huh.
But the car was, like, it's there. It's not quite in front of me. And the car was, like, ooh, and, like, slammed on the brakes.
Really?
And I was paying attention, and I was kind of like, let's see what it does.
Uh-huh.
You know, because I was genuinely curious of, like, I know it'll pull itself up, and it'll do start-and-go traffic. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, I really want to see, like, how this is going to work. And one time, it was fine. Same kind of thing happened. It just kept going. And then this time, the car was like, ooh!
So
they're not
just
perfect.
Like passing a person.
No, I was in the left lane.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a 5-lane road. The middle lane was a turn lane.
Yeah.
I was in the left lane doing like 45, passing someone who was doing, you know, turning into something on the right.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone in front of me slowed down a little bit and then pulled into the turn lane in the center to turn left. So they were out of the way in front of me.
Yeah.
There's room all around the car. Yeah. I knew it wasn't going to hit, but the car
was
like,
close,
hey,
yeah,
that's, I don't like that. Mm-hmm. And then also I was driving and it was like, hey, you should not be as close to the car in front of you as you are. And I was like, thanks. But stuff, you know, stuff like that. Some of that stuff is good, but I know. I think all I'm just saying is it'll be good to see where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now it's not hit or miss. It's way better than, you know, it used to be. I know, yeah, I had stuff like this in the 90s,
mm-hmm,
you know, BMW doing that kind of, I mean, God, I don't want a 95 Mercedes S-Class with that traffic radar thing coming at me. I'm not, you know, I don't know about that. Push, one. I could trust that a lot less. They're way better than they used to be. Safety stuff is good. However, I just want to see where it goes because some of that stuff's really annoying.
Yeah, I think it should still stay out of our way.
Yeah,
if it should be in the background. Notice it,
yeah,
perfect. Yeah,
yeah. If you can't notice it, then it's doing its job again. Like, yeah, ABS, it's only there when you need it.
Exactly. It exactly. Be. ABS is a good example.
Yes, ABS is a great example. All right, that's time for us now. I think we're gonna end with that.
Yeah.
Join
us next time for us saying they don't make them like these.
Yeah. Join us next time for us going over.
We're not
all this
quite
stuff.
Saying that, but you know.
No, sorry. Although I was gonna say, I do quite like that. That Beetle, because I'm like, wouldn't it be cool? Just the idea of like flat four, air cooled. Disregarding the flat, they suck. Disregarding the fact that they suck gas for what they are, like 20 mpg, 25, but it's fuel efficient for the time, and that they smell and that they're slow, and the fact that if you get into an accident, you're dead.
Yes.
If none of that was a problem, perfect car, because they're cheap and reliable.
I think it'd be so great to work on something so simple.
It's, yeah, whenever we start doing that, you'll see I think my dad was like, oh yeah, you just carry around about three to five hand tools and that's all you need.
Beautiful.
It's the last car I think you need to have like valves adjusted, and it's really easy to do and stuff like that, and you don't even need to, the valve covers are just, they just, you undo a little lever and they pop off. Mm-hmm. They're not even bolted on kind of stuff. All right.
Yeah.
All right, okay, we'll end it now. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Jacob.
I'm David.
And we'll catch you next week. Goodbye.
I've tried to find this TikTok where they're in a kitchen, right?
Yeah.
And then someone's like, mom has prepared food for like two like boys or whatever. I think one's a friend, and then I think the friend's like commenting on it. And she's like, you know, like not facing him at the time because she's like still working on something, and he's like eating off the plate, and they're like just standing there.
Keep going.
And he's like, she's like, you like this? And he's like, yeah, this shit's gas, girl.
Is that the one where he's like, I put it on my bitch when I'm fucking her?
Exactly. Okay. And she was like, oh, really? It's good? And she's like, yeah, it's so good. I put it on my bitch while I'm fucking her.
And he's like drunk as shit. I love that one.
And he's like, I couldn't find it. And it's so sad because that was one of my favorite TikToks I've ever seen.
It's so good. There's
Are we recording still?
Yeah.
If you can find this TikTok, I don't know if I'm going to put this in. If anybody can find this TikTok, please, for the love of God, send it to me.
Comment it, put it under
There'll
our
be
Instagram
a reward.
There'll be a reward. You'll get a shout out to your Insta.
Yeah, you'll get a shout out. Fucking God. I tried to find it. I was looking through all my likes for so long. I couldn't find it.
I know I've liked it too.
I slapped this on my bitch while I fucking.
It's like, that happened, I was like, that's not what I was
expecting.
It's
someone's mom they're talking to, and she's like, oh, it's good, right?
And it's just like, no, I don't think so. It's like his friend's mom, and then she's literally like, God, I gotta find it now. But she's like making pasta, like David said, and like he's eating it. I think he's like drunk or something, and she's like, yeah, do you like it? He's like, dude, it's so good, I put on my bitch when I'm fucking her. Oh my God, it's funny. It's a good intro. Actually, that's great for an outro.